From WHYY in Philadelphia, this is The Why. I'm Shai Ben-Yaakov.
And I'm Annette John Hall.
Anna Doty is the curator of the Mutter Museum and director of the Mutter Research Institute.
It's not Mutter?
Oh, you want to go there?
Don't,
yeah.
Don't go there.
Okay.
We're going to have that debate.
Right. This, right. You know what it is? It's the community knows us as the Mutter Museum. But there is, if you want to be pedantic and technical, there is an umlaut over that U.
Right. Yeah, there is.
So, you know, what we say is Mutter, really doesn't matter to me as long as you come and visit us. You know?
Anna, the Mutter, and other local researchers were swept up in a surprising discovery starting in 2016 when a construction company accidentally uncovered a historic graveyard in Old City.
Now, we know hundreds of bodies were buried there, but the lot was private property. So as soon as the city figured out those bodies coming out of the ground weren't a part of a crime scene, they didn't have any jurisdiction.
There was no way legally for Anna and her colleagues to protect the remains, some of which dated back to the early 1700s.
Why, in a city as historic as Philadelphia, isn't there a way to deal with situations like this? And could there be more old cemeteries hidden in the city?
Today on The Why, Philadelphia's grave concern.
Anna says the story starts when the construction company, PMC Property Group, started digging a lot on Arch and Second Streets so they could build an apartment building there.
What happened was they were augering down. They were using this kind of drill to go very, very far down to place foundational supports at the corners of what would be their building. And as they were drilling down, it was coming up with human remains. They did know that there was a cemetery there, but they also had lots of archival information that seemed to indicate that it had been moved, and even said where it had been moved to Mount Moriah Cemetery. When you move a cemetery, especially one of that size, you know, it's completely reasonable to assume that you didn't get everybody. So at the time, we weren't overtly suspicious. We thought, oh, okay, they missed some. And what happened was there was an article in November of 2016 in the Philadelphia Inquirer. And my friend and collaborator, Kimberly Moran, saw that article and said, "That's, you know, there's these human remains of these individuals that are in a cardboard box in a trailer on a construction site. That's not right, especially because we know where they should be. How about if we approach the developer and just ask if we can, you know, take this one box of bones. I can't stress that enough. It was one box of bones. And see if we can reinter it in Mount Moriah Cemetery." And it went great. I mean, like, the developer was more than happy to get that box of human bones out of their trailer. They didn't want it there. And we thought, hey, we did a mitzvah. We did a good thing. You know, great, move on. And we were back from a conference for just a couple of days, and we get a little bit of a frantic communication from the supervisor, I guess, of the site. And he's like, please come down. And we had told them before we left with the box bones, we're like, you might find some others. You know, we definitely anticipated to find some. Like, mm-hmm. I said, with that many people, they're bound to have missed a few.
Sure.
But when we got down there, what we rapidly discovered was that we weren't dealing with a few. We saw coffins stacked four deep.
So at that point, when these bodies were discovered, did PMC stop construction?
No, not really. It was completely private land, and it was a completely private, self-funded construction project. There was no government funding in any way associated mm-hmm. with it. And so because of that, nobody was stopping the construction company from continuing the construction. Finally, people were noticing this on the street, and like the media got wind of this.
It was an unusual discovery made under an Old City construction site. Hundreds of coffins buried under the ground. Chopper 6 overhead as crews continued moving some of those coffins around.
Nothing legal was able to be done, but I think it was just kind of this negative publicity encouraged the developer to stop in just that one section, mind you. And they gave us about a week to excavate out all the individuals we could find.
So how many bodies did you find, Anna?
Well, what we use is we use a MNI, which stands for minimum number of individuals, because a lot of the remains were fragmentary.
Oh, my goodness.
Is that hair?
Check out
yeah, look at that.
So we have 491 MNI.
Yes.
So that means we have skeletal elements that add up to at least 491 people. Probably more.
We've got more than one.
I think we'll probably discover that we have more than that, but we can definitely say from our initial inventory that we have at least 491 people.
And, look at the teeth. Interesting. Is that secondary dentin wear here, but then really nice molars?
And so what are you looking at specifically when you look at these remains? Like, what are you looking for?
Oh, my goodness. This is what's so amazing, is that every day we're thinking of new ways to look at them and new information that we can get. We're doing something called the biological profile. That's kind of the basic assessment of the individuals. So for each set of remains, we're trying to determine some basic information. So age, sex, ancestry, if possible, stature, if possible. And
stature meaning what?
Other height.
Uh-huh. Just height.
How tall were they? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So
any pathologies and traumas associated with them. That in itself paints an amazing picture of these individuals' lives, their health during their life. And also the time period that this cemetery was active was from about the very early 1700s, maybe about 1707, and the property was sold around 1858. Now, you know, we all know probably some pretty important things happened in Philadelphia between that time period, you know, birth of the nation, that kind of stuff. These individuals were living through that time period, you know.
Wow.
So they represent amazing sections of history. And they were also living or not living through epidemics, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Philadelphia lost a significant chunk of its population in 1793 due to a yellow fever outbreak.
Yeah.
Cholera epidemics, you know, all these different types of infectious diseases, which really speaks to a public health aspect. We're going to be learning things, too, that'll teach us more about epidemiology. It'll teach us more about infectious diseases, how they spread, how they evolved. So ultimately, if we do the right thing, we can save lives.
And you are going to be checking DNA too, right?
Yes. One of the things we did is we reached out to the First Baptist Church that was started in the early 1700s is still an active congregation.
Hmm.
So we reached out to the representative of the congregation, and we have their blessing to do this type of research. And we're interested in doing genetic testing for a variety of reasons, but we're also interested because we want to know what family members are there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in 2023, we are reburying all of the individuals at Mount Moriah Cemetery, where it was supposed to go in 1858, 1859.
Do you have any idea why it didn't go there, by the way?
Well, there's a lot of factors, I think, that had to do with it. One of the things was that, according to some of the records, they sold the property, and then they had a certain amount of time to relocate the remains. And I believe it was also in a very cold, like the cold months of the year. So if you can imagine, there was no backhoes back then.
Yeah, frozen ground.
Frozen ground.
Just hard to deal with.
You know, once we started looking at this, we're like, oh, no. Okay, I can see that they weren't going to get everybody out. They did move all the tombstones, and so they're disassociated. So there's names, and there's human remains. And it's our job to do as best as we can to put those two together.
Wow.
That's where the DNA is going to help us. But what's really interesting is, you know, Philadelphia, many of us have roots that go way back. So we're being approached by people who think that they have relatives, you know, they have ancestors that were buried there. So if they have them, we would like to maybe match the living individuals with their relatives. And
this is like Ancestry.com on steroids. You know,
it is.
You're matching, you know, what people pay good money to find.
So, yeah, it's twofold. We're trying to match the people, the population of the cemetery itself. So we'll be able to hopefully rebury the family units together. But then we also want to reach out to the living and say, are these your ancestors? And so that's where the DNA really comes in handy.
This is The Why. We're speaking with Mutter Museum curator Anna Doty. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Why, which means you like deep dives into local stories.
We can't do it without listeners like you.
Consider a monthly gift to WHYY of any amount you choose.
Support your public media station now by visiting whyy.org.
Thanks for your support.
Anna, we live in an old historical city. Could there be other cemeteries like this in Philadelphia?
Oh, that's not a could. There are. There are burial grounds everywhere. The Philadelphia Archaeological Forum created the historic burial place map. Their president, Doug Mooney, kind of spearheaded that.
Our website is www.phillyarchaeology.net.
So you can go onto their website and you can actually see these historic maps that really carefully show where these cemeteries are.
Really what this map represents is advance warning. And with advance warning, you have options. The worst of all possible circumstances is where a construction project starts up and now all of a sudden you've got burials popping up. What we're hoping is that, you know, developers in this case can access our map, in some cases even before they purchase a property.
Some of them have been relocated and some of them haven't. There was a car wash that was being demolished in West Philadelphia, and a bystander happened to look at that and see, And they just took it upon themselves, this Philadelphia citizen, to do a little background historical research and found out that that was an African-American burial ground.
Wow.
These are Philadelphians. They're the people that built this city. We certainly believe that they deserve to be treated respectfully.
I'm not exactly sure the fallout of the results of this, but again, it was one of those situations. I believe it was a privately funded enterprise. So we'll have to follow up on that.
So, Anna, we were curious about whether or not the city's policy had changed since the cemetery at Arch Street was found. We know that you said that, you know, PMC technically didn't have to stop construction since this was private property. So we reached out to the Department of Planning and Development, and here's what they had to say.
The city has no statement to offer because the city had no role at the time and continues to have no role in the discovery and disposition of human remains at a private construction site.
So what's your reaction to that? Is this a concern for you?
It is a concern because, you know, I think Philadelphia needs to take ownership of its heritage. We are an amazing city. We have an amazingly rich historical and archaeological heritage. And the city of Philadelphia, you know, I hope they would think the same, that our heritage is worth preserving. And this is not a matter of if this is going to happen again. It's when it happens again. And it would be very helpful, I think, to all parties to have some sort of guideline, some sort of idea. So when this happens, you know, what are you supposed to do? Like, who are you supposed to call?
And why don't we have that? Why don't we have somebody overseeing this process?
I really don't know, because other cities do. Boston, other historical cities have these ordinances or laws in place. So when this happens, the construction companies know what they have to do. The archaeological community knows what they have to do. And stuff gets done. Who knows how many things have happened in the interim, like how much incredibly important information is lost.
So obviously, you know, it's not great that these people didn't get moved when they were supposed to, but is it sort of a win for you guys because you get access to them and you get to figure out some things about how they lived?
Absolutely. I think not only do we have the ability to safely reinter these individuals, but before we do that, we have the blessing of the decedent community to do this analysis. And that's something you don't often get when you're doing a known cemetery relocations. And while the individuals are going to be reinterred by 2023, that'll just be the tip of the iceberg in the research. We're going to have work ahead of us, and we're going to be finding out results for years and years and years to come.
Well, Anna, thank you for coming in and sharing this fascinating story with us.
Thank you so much for having me.
Anna has only analyzed about a quarter of the remains so far. She'll be releasing more research over the course of the next several months.
The Why is produced by me, Shai Ben-Yaakov, along with Annette John Hall and Alex Stern. We got editorial direction from Katie Colinari.
Follow us on Twitter @ShaiBenYaakov and @AnnetteJH.
We'll be back tomorrow.